Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program. There is a lot of quoting from a particular past novel that was made into a movie called 1984. You've been hearing a lot of it lately, people making references to it, because we're watching in our country as many of the things that George Orwell wrote inside of that novel are coming to pass in the means of controlling people and making a socialist state. In that novel, George Orwell wrote these words: "Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past." It's a very sobering statement that is happening today, even as we speak. How important that it is that we understand where we are, when I speak of this, I am not just speaking of it spiritually speaking, but I'm talking also about this very weekend that we honor the fallen veterans, men and women who laid down their life for the cause of freedom. We call it Memorial Day. It is not a long weekend. It's not the opening of summertime. It's not the cause for you to get the grill out and clean it. It is for us across this nation, like no other nation will celebrate or honor this way, and set aside a particular day to memorialize and to remember what people have done for us to be able to have liberty and freedom. How important is it? Well, the philosopher, the George Santayana, made this statement, and you've heard it said, and Winston Churchill repeated it: "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." I also want to share with you this short statement that comes from Richard Warmbrand. Many of you may have understood and know his name, but I think it's extremely important, especially in light of what's happening today in our land. He was a Romanian evangelical pastor, Christian pastor, who, as an author as well, spent the total of his 14 years imprisoned in Romania for his faith. He's also the founder of the Voice of the Martyrs, an international organization working with and for persecuted Christians around the world. He died in 2001, but he made this statement in 1967 as he expresses himself as a Romanian citizen and his view about America. Listen to this. "Every freedom-loving man has two fatherlands," he said, "his own and America. Today, America is the hope of every enslaved man because it is the last bastion of freedom in the world. Only America has the power and spiritual resources to stand as a barrier between militant communism and the people of the world. It is the last dike holding back the rampaging floodwaters of militant communism. If it crumbles," he said, "there is no other dike, no other dam, no other line of defense to fall back upon. America is the last hope of millions of enslaved people. They look at it as their second fatherland. In it lies their hopes and prayers. I have seen," he said, "fellow prisoners in communist prisons beaten, tortured with 50-pound chains on their legs, praying for America, that the dike will not crumble, that it will remain free." And so we don't honor this weekend a long weekend, and we don't honor the God of pleasure, of hot dogs and hamburgers. We honor those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. For if we ever forget that, we will go the way of other nations before us into obscurity. The book of Psalm 119:52 said, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself with them. The book of Judges that follows after the book of Joshua. And this is important for you to understand that wherever there is success, there is a successor. If you don't have a successor in a nation, in a family, in a home, in a business, there is no success. Success comes because there is succession in other generations. And when Joshua went off the scene, Joshua was the successor to the man Moses who led them out. But Joshua did not have a successor. And so in the opening chapter of the book of Judges that follows Joshua, the Bible records this ominous and horrible statement to define where Israel would be over the next few months and years, that is. Joshua, or Judges 2:10 says, there arose a generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Are you hearing that? Some of you may wonder, and your children may wonder, why do we have to go to church? Why do we need to go to church? Why do we need to read our Bible and pray? Why do you stop us, Dad, Mom, and do these things? Because the book of Deuteronomy says this in verse number 20 of chapter 6. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, the decrees, the laws of the Lord our God has commanded you? Why do we have to abide by, honor, and obey God? The writer said, Moses said, tell them, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. He brought us out from there to bring us in and give us a land that he had promised an oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we're careful to obey all the laws before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that he will be our righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe it's an accident that you're sitting in here today on Family Sunday with your children. Just before I came into this service, just before I left the house, I got a telephone call from a pastor friend of mine, and as we often do, we start talking back and forth about what we're preaching today. And before we knew it, we were, as we described to each other on the telephone, we were the sacrifice pitchers and hitters, I should say, because I gave him a thought out of my mind about what he was preaching, and he gave me a thought out of his mind into what I was preaching, and we both sacrificed like a sacrifice hitter to drive in the home run. I'm just telling you, he had no idea what I was preaching till I told him, and he had no idea that this was going to be the end and the beginning of the sixth month, the last half of the year, not to mention that children and the generations would be sitting next door to one another in their seats on this particular Sunday. It is a disgrace, ladies and gentlemen, of the memory of the men and women who have fought for freedom and liberty for our nation, for us not to take a stand in this evil day. We're thankful, and Pace Assembly will never forget, and we will fly the flag of freedom high from every flagpole that we can find and buy a brand new one and stick it up there when that one gets tattered. Because if America ever gets itself into a place where we start running from the fight, we're in trouble. Today's terrorists are no different than the enemies of the past because they hate freedom, period. They hate freedom. There's a spirit that is coming from hell today that, like none other, is taking over whole countries. Those angels like the prince of Persia that is over the top of regions as spiritual demons in high places, principalities that are controlling, that continually feed the hate and despise freedom. It's not just freedom in America, it's freedom anywhere. Some have actually lost courage to move forward in the face of even last year's COVID crisis and even to this day, because the price many times costs more than what people are willing to bear. We have found ourselves in a position in many cases of retreat in many ways because we have drifted away from the principles of God and the ways of the Lord. Satan has convinced many believers that the odds are too great. But I want to declare to you today, as surely as we understand, especially in this community of the military that is so prevalent inside of this area and this three counties that we are connected to here, that just as sure as the battle is real and physical around this world and soldiers are fighting, there is a spiritual battle that is going on that is far even more real than what we see on the ground today. The battle is in progress, and no one will be left out. You have not been saved to sit on a pew and mold until the day Jesus comes back and gets you. God has enlisted you from the day you said yes to him into the army of the Lord. Pastor, I don't want to fight. You're fighting right now. Some of you are fighting for attention, fighting for the attention of God, fighting for the attacks that are coming against your life. And in the time we're living, and I think you all would agree, that like never before, we are witnessing the wearing out of the saints. For the battle is raging to such a degree that just about the time you feel like you got that one fought and won, here comes something else from seven different sides. And the enemy's doing everything he can today, Satan himself, to try to tell you that there's no use to fight, that the battle is not worth it, that the enemy is too great, and if you're not careful, we'll settle down for an apathetic church and an apathetic preaching and an apathetic worship where nothing changes and nothing happens. But God of gods is sitting upon the throne, and at his righteous right hand, the scepter is still in the hand of the Lord God Almighty. Do not let the odds intimidate you into thinking that God is not able. Not only is he able, but he is ready to defend his people with 10,000s and tens of thousands of angels from heaven ready to be dispatched at any moment. All you and I have to do is make up our mind we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Pastor, I'm not for fighting, I'm for peace. Well, you can have peace in the millennial reign, but between now and the coming of the Lord, there's a fight that's going on, and your name is in the middle of it. For those of you that casually slipped into the service this morning as you were driving by, trying to select a church like it's one of the 57 flavors of Bressler's ice cream, and those of you that may have just clicked on saying, I think I'll go to church today from my couch, I just want to let you know, you're in the battle just because you showed up today. So you might as well learn the tactics and the wiles of the enemy, and you might as well learn how to fight and win, because I just got news for you. If I'm going to play backstreet ball or if I'm going to get in a spiritual battle, I'm not fighting to lose. Nobody in this building, I think, gets up tomorrow and says, I think I'll just lose today. I think I'll just sit down and quit today. No, no, no. You get up and say, today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And not only that, I'm ready to go to battle. I've got a hold of the word of God, and I'm ready to fight the good fight of faith.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you and help you in your walk with the Lord. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, paceassembly.org, and we'll be glad to get you the information, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org. And we'll be glad to correspond with you. We want to thank you for joining us each day at this same time. And I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.